sworn by Missouri Deputy Terry Pinkle. I'd like to begin with a brief opening statement from Coach Pinkle, and then we'll open the floor for a few questions. Coach?
Good afternoon, everybody. Now, here we go again. So it's, I was kidding around one of the other meetings I had there. The media, that you know, you're flying back from a bowl game, and you think you got, you know, 7-8 months, which you do, until you go again. But man, I'm here. It just seems like it flew by. And, but fortunately, I'm still here, so I think if I can still be here every year, that's good. And, we're working hard. You know, we're you know, we can talk about the Zoom aid, which is a huge part of our program and process guide, and learning from Don James. And what we try to do is develop our students and the young men, be the best football players they can be, and also graduate. And so those are three things we do. We have a detailed plan for that. We demand great work ethic. But there's a system in place that we use, and that's we're trying to keep becoming better and better, like all the teams in this league.
We'll start with our questions back in the room on the left.
Hey, Coach. Talk about how, because domestic violence has been hitting college sports, really all sports, professional and college. Talk about how you guys try to make sure that doesn't happen, and what steps and different programs you do to take that out of your program.
Well, first of all, you know, we've been touched by it like some other people, so we've been a part of this. I think a lot of positive things have happened, you know, in terms of what's happened, not only in college sports, but, you know, in the NFL, and all these negative things have happened, I think, and in a lot of ways have turned into positives. You know, one thing that we do is education, and we call it Men for Men that we do, and it talks about communicating and respect for women. That's one of our core values. And I think it's important to note that, you know, we all have responsibilities, and that you know, it's critically important that our players understand the things that they can and can't do, and that we were very responsible for it. I look at our football program, and you know, those are that we have open conversation about these responsibilities. And I think it's been very, very good at a national level. I know Title IX now, there's been more of a process that you go through on our campus that you, and anything you hear, you see, you own it. You hear it, you see it, you own it. Anything. And that's what we've done on our campus. And you take it to a Title IX coordinator on our campus, and unlike the police or anybody else that has to do things the way they do it, Title IX can jump on it right away and try to make sure that the right thing happens. To help that particular person. And so there's been a lot of ugly things that have happened, you know, but I think we've learned a lot, and I think it's going to help out a lot of a real positive way to make sure that you know, women are treated respectfully in the right way.
Go to the right side, back of the room. Go ahead.
Since the SEC expanded the first wave of generation ago in 92, Missouri football has had more early success among all the teams that have entered the SEC since that time. To any degree, has Missouri's early success in the SEC surprised you? And do you suspect that Missouri football is farther along than it might be if it had not joined the SEC?
I think the SEC has helped us. There's no question about it. Just the name, you know, being the brand name of being the SEC. That's, and to be very honest with you, in the first year we struggled with injuries, and you know, I'd done a very job coaching, we won one more game and gone to a bowl. But the SEC has been a tremendous asset to us, you know, and there's no question about the respect that it has nationally. I think recruiting wise, you know, I also think in terms of winning and a little bit of prestige that goes along with that at this league. Did I anticipate? You know, I think I want to win every game we play. That's what we do. And, you know, we want to win a national championship, and you know, we want to win a divisional championship, obviously, a league championship, and win a bowl game. That's kind of our goals from a football perspective. And we just work very hard at the process of being good. You know, I tell our players, and our players understand it. It's about working the right way, and tremendous work ethic as a football team to get better, and player by player. and you're good in September for what you did when you reported January 21st, and what you did on March 3rd and March 4th. We have countdown days in our locker room when they get back in January from our bowl game, and so that we don't waste a day. That's what that's about. It looks cute out there. We have 232 days to our opening game. It's so that we don't waste a day, and that's what we do. That's what we'll continue to do, and the league itself is a great league. It's remarkably competitive. You know, I love it, but you better strap it on because, you know, how many you throw a win in the fourth quarter, and this league is like the NFL. So many games go back down in the fourth quarter. I just feel honored to be in, and last year had nothing to do with this year. So here we go.
Staying on the right side, we'll move up to the second row.
Hey, Gary, when it comes to Harold Brantley, football secondary, obviously, I know you're real happy that he's okay first, but from a football standpoint, just got out there that I guess he's out for the season. Can you take us from a football standpoint, how much that impacts you?
Well, it's an impact, but you know, it's also happened in July, and so you know, you move on. You know, that's what you have to do. The good news is he's going to be fine. It's been frustrating for disappointing for him because he had this remarkable, you know, one of the best springs of any defensive line we've had, and you know, been fortunate to have a lot of great ones. And so it's been difficult for him too. You know, he's one of the best players in this league, and one of the best, that means we make sure one of the best players in the nation. And so you know, we're trying to help him too. So he's gonna have his days and his tough days and his. And we're gonna be there, reach down, put our arm around, and help because he's part of our family. Good news is he can accomplish all his goals, he can graduate, and he can certainly help lead the football team this year. And that's the kind of approach we're gonna take. And you gotta move him over, move him up, and it requires you know the players to play and an opportunity for some other players.
Comes back over to our left on the front row here.
Coach, two part on the offense, just trying to bring along those wide receivers, get them some experience going into the season, but also too the importance of Russell Hansborough to your offense.
Yeah, Russell, you know, had a really heck of a year last year. Rich Ritter's a freshman, played a year ago and did some good things. Morgan Stewart's a player that was one of the high level players that we've ever had, running back, and he had a hip injury and he's slowly getting back. And I think we've got a chance to get him back now. And if you'd asked me 3 months ago, he wouldn't have a chance at all. But Russell being able to run the football at a high level obviously is going to make you much better, and it takes pressure off the other areas. You know, we're going to be young in the receiver core, but that's, you know, I've seen receivers groups, young receiver groups excel and do a phenomenal job. Pat Washington's our receiver coach. You know, he's coached, you know, 15 years in the SEC, 15, 16 years in Tennessee for many, many years. And so we've got a great coach working with those guys. And the other thing, too, is we have Sean Calkin, Jason Reese are two of our tight ends. And so, you know, a couple years ago, we had Gavin Kaufman and Rucker. They both played about 6, 8 years in the NFL. And we played two tight ends, two wide receivers. So we got to see how the whole thing unfolds in the middle of August. And we're going to play with our best players the majority of the time. And that creates a lot of competition. So there's a lot of ways to work through those things, and that's one thing we're going to have to do.
Left side here. For the back, go ahead.
Hey, Coach Dan.
Yes, sir.
Talk about your quarterback. He's 14-4 as a starter, but in those four losses, his QBR was 27. How can he get better at playing in the biggest games of his, you know, career or the season of that day?
Yeah, well, he's played some. You know, honestly, when he's in the crunch time, he's at his best. I mean, he's delivered since he's been a player for us. We just need more consistency at the position. We need more consistency in offense. And I think it starts with him. You know, he's in, I think his experience level, you know, you learn, you mature, you grow. The defense slows down, you see more. I think the other components are obviously protection, your running game, which we talked about a moment ago, and also your receiving core. You know, so it's just not him, but certainly his consistency, him being more consistent, will help all the people around him play better, and that's what we're going to try to get done.
Right side and back, and this will be our final question for Coach Pinkel. Go ahead.
Coach, you've been doing this for quite some time. What's it like when you have a coach join your staff and then get that opportunity to build his own program, and at the same time go through the challenge of replacing that coach and what he meant to your staff?
We go out to Dave Steckel, defensive coordinator. We were one of the top defenses in the league a year ago. I love the guy. He's a Missouri State, and he wanted a shot, you know, and he was wondering if he's ever going to get a shot to be head football coach. And he's a great man. He's a great coach. He's a great competitor. You know, he will do a phenomenal job.
Thank you, Coach.